That's a Gay Ass Podcast.
What? That's a Gay Ass Podcast.
A what?
A really, really, really gay podcast that we call That's a Gay Ass Podcast.
That's a gay ass name for a gay ass podcast.
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay, babe? It is me, Eric Williams, and this week we welcome an icon, a true legend, and yes, I watched every single episode of My Life on the D-List. I've watched every single one of her specials. I've read her books, and today is a historic moment where I get to speak with Kathy Griffin face-to-face, or new face to Jew face. So please, put your gay ass hands together and help me welcome Kathleen Mary Griffin. Kathy Griffin is on That's a Gay Ass Podcast, and I am not going to pretend that this is not a big gay ass deal. Kathy, you are a part of my herstory, and you are making my dreams come true. Thank you for coming on this gay ass podcast. How the hell are you?
Oh, Eric, well, I'm in love with you. So that's my confession. That's the headline. That's the breaking news. And this is a fantastic podcast. So thank you for doing it. In a world of many podcasts, this is one of the good ones. And it's very gay. But today it's going to be gayer than it's ever been.
And that is correct, Amundo. In fact, Kathy Griffin, we here at Gay Ass Podcast like to keep things gay, but we're also a bit of gay journalists here. And that's why my first question for you is all about one of your most important roles that you played, which was, of course, Hoddle and Fiddler on the Roof while you were in Chicago in high school. Tell me, are we ever going to get a revival of your take on that role? And what do you still carry with you from that gorgeous theatrical experience?
Well, at Oak Park River Forest High, where, of course, being 100% Irish Catholic, I was the perfect choice to play Hoddle in Fiddler on the Roof, or Fiddler, as we called it. And I think the entire production may have been a little what they call cultural appropriation. Sure. And as they say, it was a different time. And it was a big theater. What's crazy about the high school I went to is it was so big. And I had to fight my parents because they wanted me to go to the Catholic all-girls high school, Trinity. But I was too boy crazy. And so I did anything I could. And one of them was convinced them that Oak Park River Forest High had a much bigger theater department, which they did. So I will tell you that while maybe I was not the greatest Hoddle in the history of Fiddler, some of the luminaries that were my classmates in these plays were Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio, who's an amazing actress. She was in Scarface. Danny Castellaneta, who's the voice of Homer Simpson and is just counting his money as well as his talent. And so it actually was a bit of a microcosm for real Hollywood. Little did I know, there in Illinois, they had kind of a tiered system, and it was almost athletic because you had to fight your way into the bigger theater. And so by the time Fiddler came along, it was the biggest theater, and I pretended like I was Jewish for 2 hours.
And you know what? It's not the worst thing to pretend, because I myself am a Jewess, and Fiddler is a big part of my history. In fact, when I was waiting at an open call for Fiddler on the Roof in New York City, I met my what? Catholic husband. And here we are to live to tell the tale. I also love that your parents were like, you know what? It has a big theater. We'll send her there. Were you able to at least live up to your slutty dreams? Did you slut it up at your co-ed high school?
Honey, I was a virgin till I was 20.
Shout out.
I was the last one in our clique. And I was, of course, in the nerd, picked on, bullied theater kids clique. And of course, I had a boyfriend who is now married to a man named David. And he and I were what we considered to be lovers because we did make out one time. So I consider him to be bisexual, because of the one time he made out with me when we were 16. But I was such a nerdy straight edge. I didn't drink. I still to this day have never had a drink in my life. So I was the DD. I was the designated driver. And, you know, that's how we survived with our clique of nerds. And I was also constantly getting in trouble, which I know is a shock.
Wow, that is. But it's also funny how, like, you have so many relatable things about you, because I am also a Midwestern sort of straight edge queen. But I feel like I'm living a second adolescence now. I'm like smoking weed. I'm sucking D. And I think I'm trying to like allow myself, the younger version of myself, to sort of act out in the ways I was too afraid to as a kid. But you seem to be.
I did that in my 30s.
Oh, really?
I banged my way through the 30s like a jackhammer. I mean, I was on top. I was on bottom. It was whatever it took. And it was ridiculous. I don't know what came over me, but you're right. I felt like I didn't live that sort of normal adolescence.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you had a pulse, we were going to bed. And I just think back on those times, and I have to tell you, I don't have one regret.
Good. Do you ever wish you could jump back into like a slutty weekend, or how are you feeling right now? How's the slut inside of you being taken care of?
So I'm newly divorced and I'm very excited because I just bought condoms and lube. So I am ready. And I was on the dating apps for 3 weeks and then realized I'm too famous and it's too hard to be a humble icon. I mean, who are we kidding? Just a down-to-earth legend. And yet, it was fun going on 3 dates, but I did not use the condoms or the lube and did not go all the way, as they say. I didn't have the feels. And one of the gentlemen, for some reason, thought it was appropriate to tell me on the first date that if he wanted to, and he didn't want to, but if he wanted to, he could kill me with his thumb in under 2 seconds.
Wow.
Eric,
chivalry is
what's going on with the straights, Eric? What's going
on? They've never been okay, and they continue to get worse. And
they're getting worse. The straights are getting worse. I don't know if it's Joe Rogan or Andrew Tate, but let me tell you, these straight men are out of control. They want to kill me in under 2 seconds.
Girly, I do not envy Kathy Griffin right now, because to all of my straight girls who are going for straight men, I think that it is not an easy battlefield right now. And I hope that you are, you know, flicking your bean as much as you can, because you deserve.
Eric, I have to fist myself. Yeah, I have to put condom on. I have to put the lube on and then turn on some gentle music, maybe some Lionel Richie. And then I have to do all the work myself.
Well, I'm manifesting that a sweet man who will not kill you with his thumb will fist you himself. And that is my Sabbath prayer to you.
Oh,
now,
thank you.
I also need to, on this Gay Ass Podcast, ask you the Gay Ass Podcast question, which I tend to ask the queer people, whose fault is it that you're gay? But Kathy Griffin, I feel like for you, I want to ask right now first, whose fault is it that you're a gay icon? I mean, the gays have and will continue to be obsessed with you till the end of time. How did that happen? And did anybody inspire you? What's the journey?
Well, first of all, let's call the expression what it really was. It was an FAG hag. And so now I just say
Can
hag.
You say fag? Wait. I want you to say fag right now.
I'm a fag hag. I'm a fag hag. I was a fag hag. I will go to my grave as a happy fag hag. And I'm a trained fag hag. And so I don't like these young up and coming hags who think they know how to do it without putting the work in. Because I blame my parents, and probably because they were interested in the cultural arts. And, you know, that's swimming with gays. I mean, you throw a stone, you're going to hit a gay. You can't walk into a room without a gay, and then you've lost the whole neighborhood. And so I just clicked with the kids that were the outsiders. And I remember truly being in first grade in Catholic school with those lesbian nuns, allegedly, and just picking out who I now know was clearly a little gay boy just trying to hide from the world. And his name was Brian. And they used to put us in little groupings, which also was kind of messed up. But I asked to sit with Brian because he never talked, but he would draw all the time. He was like this amazing artist. And he and I became friends instantly. So I would say I started in first grade right away. And I worked my way up. And it's work, honey. Let me tell you, the times that men have come out to me and I have to act like I'm surprised, the times Kathy. I've had this call, what do you want to tell me? Oh, don't cry. Oh, wait. You're saying you're a homosexual? No.
You're kidding.
You're kidding. I did not know that.
The reason why you are a good fag hag is because you know you have to act surprised. Because the mean girls are ridiculing these sad gay boys who are thinking that they're putting up this gorgeous facade when really they're lip syncing to Dream Girls and tap dancing their way through study hall. But you at least have the decency to say, oh my gosh, even if it's deadpan, I'm here for you.
I had no idea. We'll talk about this on your timeline and your terms. And I have a whole speech now. I should actually copyright it.
You should. And honestly, I think that's partly why I started watching My Life on the D-List the second it aired, is because I felt that safety of Kathy Griffin. In fact, producer Nathaniel and I were talking before you came on about our love of that show. He's got the DVDs at his apartment. He literally just showed me a photo, Kathy, of himself and his husband, Chris, in front of your home that you filmed the show at 10, 15 years ago. So and then also I've got this book that I have read and reread.
Celebrity Run-Ins, by the way, half the people I wrote about in that book aren't speaking to me anymore. That's what makes that book special.
Would you say the
Trump decapitated head photo, half of that book was like, I don't want to be in your run-ins. I don't want to know you. And I'm going to act like we never met.
Now that I'm sitting with you these years later, would you say that it's worth the fallouts?
Oh, yes. It's always worth it. I used to discuss this with the great Joan Rivers and the great Don Rickles all the time. I mean, Rickles told me a story about when Gregory Peck was mad at him one time. And I said, what did you do? And he said, I went in harder. And so Joan Rivers used to say, you know, I don't get invited to the parties and all that stuff. And I would just be thinking, what an honor it would be to be made fun of by Don Rickles or Joan Rivers. And I still feel really strongly that way. So I have many celebrities who are not speaking to me. I actually just did a whole episode of my YouTube show called Kathy Griffin Talk Your Head Off. And I did an apology to Brooke Shields because I was on a sitcom with her for 4 years called Suddenly Susan. And she really taught me a lot about fame, because she's globally famous and everybody in the world knew her, and she's a household name, and started out as the Gerber baby and was never out of work. And I put her in my act and put her in my specials, because then my act started becoming about who I was working with and who was naughty and who was nice and what really happens behind the camera. And, you know, one time I told a story that she thought was too far. And so she and I have not spoken since, but I still love her. She changed my life by letting me have the job as her best friend on that show for 4 years. And, you know, I get it. I get both sides. On one hand, I don't feel that way. If somebody talks smack about me, I just think it's funny, whether it's true or not. And I do embellish in my act. I'm not a journalist. I'm not a historian. If I can think of one little line that the celebrity maybe didn't technically say, but they said most of it, I feel I'm kind of filling in their story for them, you know, doing them a favor, making them human. And so, yes, I've had many celebrities confront me, from Whitney Houston waving her finger in my face, which was genuinely scary, to Barbara Walters running from me in a public bathroom and me just making fun of her under the stall. I have no boundaries. And that's, once again, that's also my parents' fault.
And we shout out John and Maggie at any chance that we can. I think that it's our love of you is because of how unapologetic you are. And I speaking of Barbara Walters, if we go to The View for a second, Whoopi Goldberg is who I say made me gay. The movie Sister Act 2 was my gay origin story. But
it's a gay
maker. Really crazy. Oh, it absolutely is. I mean, Back in the Habit is the OG, is that girl. But we had a crazy moment on this podcast last year. Lisa Rinna came on, and then they ended up playing a clip from that interview on The View. And so Whoopi Goldberg being able to introduce a clip with my face was huge for me. But speaking of this book, Celebrity Run-Ins, and speaking of all of your celebrity moments, do you have any Whoopi Goldberg pieces of lore as someone who deeply loves her?
The thing about Whoopi that's tough is she's someone that probably would not be mad if I put her in the act. And yet there's really nothing to make fun of because she makes fun of herself and she's so authentic. But I can say that I have a long history with her. And even the last time I was on The View, although I couldn't get booked this time for my new special, so I think I'm re-banned, but I have a long history of being banned and unbanned from The View. But the last time I was on, Whoopi said, I will help. If I can help sell your special, I will produce it personally. So she has been supportive. She's brilliant. There's nobody like her. There's only one Whoopi. And I have followed her since her one-woman show on Broadway, which then went HBO before it was Max. It was kind of the only game in town. And I just admire her tremendously. So I don't have like a story about her because she puts it all out there. You know, the ones that I tend to go for are the ones that take themselves too seriously.
Well, that's my biggest pet peeve in any person, whether I'm fucking them or just keeking with them, is that if you take yourself too seriously, what are we doing here? And I do think that Whoopi, it makes so much sense. And that's why I love her. She's always herself, and she is doesn't give a fuck if you take her or leave her. It's the same thing when it comes to Joan Rivers, too. I mean, you and Joan Rivers are both hustlers. And you say your attitude when it comes to selling tickets is whatever it takes. So I have a question for you, Kathy.
Sell, sell, sell. Always be selling.
Well, I'm currently in that headspace. I'm finally, you know, trying to put myself out there. I have this new hour show that I've been doing in New York and LA. And
good,
do you have any advice for my show that's October 23rd at the Elysian? It's a gay coming of age, horny therapy story. Any tips for how to sell ticks?
Well, first of all, I would like to order everyone hearing this, watching this, to go October 23rd
to
the Elysian and see you. So that's a command. And I think it should be taken seriously. So spreading the word through friends is always good. Getting people to post about it, which I'm happy to do. And, you know, you kind of find out who your friends are when the ones that say they're going to post don't. And the ones, that's how then they get in the act. But I say, go for it. Be as authentic as you can and don't hold back. And I think especially now with Trumpism taking over, people have even more of a hunger for people that are the real deal. And whether it's imperfect or raw, people would rather see that than all of the BS that's going on around us. And also people need to get away from all of that darkness and go have a laugh and kind of, you're giving them new energy. So I feel like if I can take you for a couple of hours and give you a couple of hours of laughs, then you're a little more recharged to go out and face the real world. So you are doing the Lord's work, and I'm an atheist, but I still think you're doing the Lord's work.
Thank you so much. It just, even just having you say that people should see the show,
it's a command and a demand.
It's a command. Y'all, it's from Kathy Griffin herself. And honestly, if we're talking about incredible shows, you have this new face, new tour that is going to be launching in Vegas November 8th, if I'm correct.
Yep.
And you also have toured last year with My Life on the PTSD list. Mm-hmm. You're constantly working your tits off.
And my special's coming out on YouTube on October 8th.
Yes, it fucking is. I just, you know, any chance to see you perform is a gift to us. But the fact that this is what, your 23rd special?
Yeah, I'm in the Guinness Book of World Records for more stand-up specials than any comedian, male or female, living or dead. And I know that's obnoxious, but I do it because, you know, people still think that old trope that chicks aren't as funny. They think that is really true. And so thank God for women and gay men, because I think that you're undervalued as consumers. And many of the conversations with my own agents over the years have been, don't act like I'm so niche. You can fill a lot of theaters with women and gay men. So I don't really chase the straight guys. You know, when I was younger, I tried to branch out and do anything in that area that I could. And they still look at me going, yeah, I'd rather go see Dave Chappelle. So thank you for being an incredibly loyal demographic, and know to lean into your people, because that's where you're going to get the love. So lean into the folks that you know are going to show up, and they're going to get it, because they either get it or they don't get it. But when they get it, it is magic.
No, that makes so much sense. I even had someone tell me recently, an agent told me recently, how I need to sort of break free of the ceiling of gay men, because you can make so much more money when you do branch out. And I understand that. And I am absolutely trying to go for
yes and no. I mean, look, I bought this house, you know, performing for women and gay men while being told, you know, I'm 64 now, while being told since I was 18, you should focus more on a broader audience. You know, that's great. And like I said, that's great for Dave Chappelle. Dave is the number one touring artist right now, and he's brilliant. And Chris Rock is brilliant. And all the guys out there that are the top 10 touring artists are great. And if you've got the stuff, though, people will find you. And like I said, if you're authentic, they'll come see you a second time, because it's a rare thing to watch somebody on stage just let it all out and let loose. It's quite liberating, and it's extra fun to be in an audience that is gay men and women. And there's a very long line for the men's restroom, and there's no line for the women's room. So there's a little tip. If you really have to pee, just go to the women's room. But if you're busy on Grindr, then just wait your place in line and be polite.
What about this Riyadh Comedy Festival in Saudi Arabia? All these huge names are performing for what some might say is a terrible government.
Blood money.
Blood money, if you will. What is your take on these big names doing it, like Chappelle? But also, there are certain people that like have queer audiences and have evolved comedy is taking this check. What's your take?
Well, I have two words for you. Jamal Khashoggi, and that's the Washington Post reporter that was murdered in the, I believe, the offices of MBS Mohammed bin Salman, who is their leader. And, you know, when that incident happened, it captured global news, and it was a very big issue in America. And I would argue that the comedians that took that check to play the Riyadh Comedy Festival, which is an anomaly in itself in a bad way, I think that they have blood on their hands. I think it's disgusting. I am shocked at some of the names and not so surprised at others. But, you know, it's a big world out there. And I know that a lot of them are now trying to backtrack or act like they just didn't know about the basic civil rights that are denied there, much less the rights of women that are stomped on. And I don't buy it. I don't buy that Pete Davidson just looked at his itinerary and he's just the type of workaholic that just gets on the jet and goes to wherever the next gig is. I think that's ignorance. There is a history of this. For example, the actress, the Academy Award-winning actress, Hilary Swank, did one of these gigs. And then when she found out about the human rights abuses, she gave the check back. So I think it's a very bad look for us. And I, as a fellow comedian, I think it makes us all look bad. I think it's another thing that on the global stage where we Americans don't look like we're number one and we're so great. But I'm also pissed that I'm too D-list to have been asked, so I could have had the pleasure of turning them down. So, you know, leave it to me to be too D-list to even go and try to say no to a terrorist. And well, I'm someone that's been on the no-fly list. So, you know, take it from me.
And I'll take every inch. I do.
Hey, gay ass girlies. I just read a romance horror book that I think you'd be absolutely obsessed with. Listen to this. It's called House of Rain by New York Times bestselling author Harley LaRue. And at first I was nervous it would be too scary, but y'all, it's scary and horny. And as a newly self-identified slut, I feel seen. Also, it takes place on a remote island in the Pacific Northwest, which I think the Pacific Northwest canonically has the hottest people. So if that doesn't make you squirt, babe, I don't know what will. Also, the book has so many gay-ass themes. I'm talking family drama, there's rumors, manipulation, and again, it's horny as hell. Now, the writing is also so good that it moves real fast, and there's kink in it, and you will not be able to put this down. Harley LaRue is a queer writer who gets it. You can find House of Rain by Harley LaRue wherever books are sold, in print and an ebook. The gorgeous deluxe hardcover first printing is only available for a limited time, so grab yours before they are gone, babe.
I do think it's so interesting how, while I'm sure behind the scenes a lot of these comedians are backtracking, I haven't seen too many public statements from any of them. And so we're recording this, you know, right when this festival is starting. And so when this episode comes out, maybe it will have passed. But I'm just curious to see if, I mean, you went through hell with all of you know what, but I feel like these comedians, I'm curious to see if there's going to be a fallout in the future because people here in the States are so appalled by their decision to say yes.
Well, I can say this. I can say the way to handle the fallout, if you feel strongly that they should not have gone, is just don't buy tickets to their show and just don't.
Yeah.
You know, I think that right now we're in a place where politically, you know, the other team has the trifecta, the House, the Senate, and the Oval Office. And I think the best way we can resist is with our wallets. So while normally I would be sitting here saying, don't go see a music act, don't go see a play, go see a comedian. Comedians work really hard and the good ones write all their own stuff. I've never had a writer, never will. And so I am sorry to say that I think the best way to protest the comics that went over there is not to let them get away with acting like they just didn't know. It's such a big issue. I don't see how you cannot have been paying attention to the murder of Jamal Khashoggi, as well as other basic civil rights that are robbed of innocent people. And to try to act like, well, I wanted to be an ambassador of democracy by going, I think that's BS. I think there should be a line, and it's MBS. That's how much BS it is. And so I think we'll yet to see if there's going to be any fallout. I mean, some people are just Teflon. I think Chappelle will be just fine because he's so talented that people will kind of forget. But it'll take a minute, I think. And I also don't think at this moment that we're taping this, that I don't think all of those comedians know what a bad fuck up it is. I think if you're over there and you're that ignorant, then you're just there thinking, wow, I traveled halfway across the world because I'm so desired that they want to see my comedic skills here. When really, I just think it makes Americans look ignorant.
Oh, yeah. And it's kind of back in the day, this is like at least a decade ago, there was some girl that tweeted something sort of stupid. And then she took an international flight to, like, let's say South Africa. And by the time the flight took off, the tweet had gone viral. She was canceled. She had lost her job. And then when she turned her phone on when landing, it was all brought to her attention. So that it would not surprise me if some of these comedians had a similar experience where they came back and they said, oh, shit, what have I done? Another take I want from you is, speaking of talking about going to see other shows, The Wizard of Oz has been playing at the Sphere. Is this something that you support, or is it against your religion?
I support it, and I'll tell you why. I went to see the Backstreet Boys. I know, we're getting gayer. I went to see the Backstreet Boys at the Sphere, and I'm not someone to talk up a venue. Like, to me, venues aren't why you should go to a concert, but it really was special. I'm also like a huge Backstreet Boys fan. I know all the songs. I know them. You know, we go way back. I've introduced them at award shows, etc. And they're a bunch of hardworking guys, and the show was great. And so I say give it a chance. What I don't like is that they don't show the whole film. So that's weird to play with a piece of art like that. But because I had such a cool experience at the Sphere, and for maybe the first time in my career, I felt like the venue was a character in the concert. And I felt like it did elevate the concert. And this was, like I said, a group I've seen live probably 15 times. And so I would give it a shot, but I don't like that they spliced out some of the movie. That's what's weird to me. What about you? How do you feel?
Well, so I actually saw The Wizard of Oz at the Sphere because I am married to a Judy Garland obsessed queen, and we went the opening weekend. And here's my honest take is that absolutely your gay veins are firing on all cylinders when you see it. The tornado makes it worth admission alone. However, my takeaway when I got out of that Sphere was A, them cutting it down made no sense, but B, I almost would have rather have seen Backstreet Boys, because if I'm going to the Sphere, I want to see the fucking crazy graphics and the
yes.
and like feel like I'm on shrooms the entire time. And maybe I should see Backstreet Boys on shrooms, but I'm so glad I went and saw The Wizard of Oz. It was worth it for my husband's happiness. And two things can exist, which is that I maybe would have had more of an enjoyable experience at the Backstreet Boys. And that's my take.
Well, I do think you should see the Backstreet Boys. They actually have a residency there now. It's been so successful. And I do think you should be on shrooms.
I agree. 10 out of 10 times I should be on shrooms. I also want to talk to you, since we brought up My Life on the D-List briefly, my favorite part of the show was, of course, when your parents were featured. And we at any point, I get a chance to call out people
John and
across
Maggie,
the other
the
side.
John and Maggie, the real deal. The
John
real
and Maggie,
deal.
We
never
love.
Never scripted. Always who they were. Always genuine. Loved being D-list celebrities themselves. Loved getting recognized at the gay Starbucks in WeHo. If you know, you know. And, you know, truly did go to gay bars for happy hour because they had the best food. The best appetizers. And so my parents lived in West Hollywood. They would go to the Halloween parade before it became this big commercial thing now where they close off the streets. Like when my parents and I would go to gay Halloween on Santa Monica Boulevard, it was so back in the day that like queens would be jumping on car hoods going, "You're not in Kansas anymore, Mary." And my parents would have a few, you know, sips of their box of wine, or it may have still been two buck chuck at the time. And they would just be hammered and loving the show of it all. And my father would say, "You know, Kathleen, those homosexuals, they really know how to put on a show. They're very committed with their costumes, and they wear wings. Some of them wear wings that I've noticed the carpentry on those wooden wings is excellent. So I admire their commitment."
A straight man.
That's an ally.
Who can,
that's A in LGBTQIA.
That it should be no the L it should be the LGBTJIA for John. I
Thank
just
you.
Anytime a good straight man is brought up on this pod, we have to really take space for them because they really
minute.
Are can be few and far between. And the fact that your parents, you know, raised you and your siblings in the Midwest, which is, of course, a place that is not canonically the most open to gays. The
sure.
fact that then your parents could be WeHo queens themselves.
Yes.
Talking about the carpentry of the Pride
yeah.
parade.
Yeah.
Would you, if you were approached
what
about
thought,
doing a reboot?
I just
reboot?
Want to take a minute because what
oh, yeah,
I'm
please.
So proud of is that on My Life on the D-List, my mom and dad never came out and said, "We are gay allies. We want an award." They just were. Like, they just never discriminated because it didn't really occur to them to discriminate. And that's what I think made that show special is, honestly, if it wasn't for my parents, I don't know what I would have done, because not only did they ground the show, but I was so honored and flattered when they would focus group the show. And of course, I would rate horribly because I'm annoying and I have an annoying voice and my hair is red and everything else. But people loved John and Maggie. And I think one thing that was really special and the reason so many gay men come up to me and say, "I came out to my mom during watching My Life on the D-List," or "it helped start a conversation with my dad," is they got to see these Midwestern Irish Catholic drunks from Forest Park, Illinois, just practicing more than acceptance, really celebrating the culture. And that's what I also like is I don't like when we talk about acceptance being the goal. Like, let's raise the bar. Let's celebrate a culture that is a fully formed culture and needs to be celebrated. And right now, politically, is in true danger. So I also, because of Trump, I'm going to need you to send me your gay card.
Exactly.
You can't be gay anymore. Sorry. That's over. And
it's
the
over.
Husband, that's over. So
well,
give it 2 seconds.
We had a good run, Kath. We had a
yeah,
good run.
We tried.
When you're talking about your parents, though, it makes me tear up a little because I think I had never really dissected why that show meant so much to me. But I mm-hmm. watched it when I was closeted in St. Louis. And I
yeah.
think that in a way, I was seeing you with your parents celebrating how unique you are. And of course, all of the gays you're constantly surrounded by. And I think in a way,
yeah.
I was being told subconsciously that you're going to be okay, that you mm-hmm. are going to be in a place that is celebrating it, just like you're saying, not just accepting. And
not
I think
just
deep
tolerance,
down,
not just acceptance. Right. No, my dad would have thrown a punch for one of my gay friends. Like,
yeah.
that's just who they were. And it goes against the church, allegedly, although it's not even, there's the word homosexual is not in the Bible at all. I'm actually reading a really good book about it right now called The Separation of Church and Hate by John Fugelsang. And he's another straight ally and he's very smart. But, you know, my parents really just, I don't know, they wouldn't judge someone for that. And by the way, they were judging. Like, don't, I'm not saying they weren't judging, but, and I mean, there's one episode I remember where I had a contest to have someone come and stay at my house for the weekend. And I was so green, it didn't even occur to me to get like a fake house like the Kardashians. Like I actually had a stranger just come and stay at my house for the weekend. And he was disappointed that I wasn't Ginger Spice. So he told me that several times, which was a tough pill to swallow. And I've swallowed a few. And yet, my mom did an interview that cracks me up when I think about it to this day. And she's going, I don't know. This gay is just, he's not like the other gays I know. He's a different kind of gay. He doesn't seem to be as excited about the things the gays like. And she just went on and on in a way that you probably couldn't get away with now because, you know, she wasn't using the correct language, but she was inebriated at the time and filled with drunken gay love.
And that is the way we like to see Maggie. I wonder if that guy was actually, in fact, gay or just wanted a nice pad to stay out for the weekend.
I hooked him up. I mean, he had a beautiful guest room with his own balcony. We went to an award show. I gave him my gift bag back in the day when they used to give you a gift bag just to present at an award show. And I don't know, Jerry Hallowell. I wish I could have hung out with Ginger Spice. I would like to, but I kept trying to figure out ways to make him happy. And he wanted a different ginger. And, you know, that is the plight of the gingers. Sometimes we're not a monolith.
Well, did you see on TikTok that gingers are considered now to be black people?
Not only did I see it, I flew to Vegas to make a video about it with Carrot Top. So that's how much I will commit to a bit because I called him and he's an old friend of mine. And I said, you know, I don't mean to brag, but you and I are kind of the OG grand poobah of, you know, the ginger male and female archetype, at least in comedy. And so I said, we should do a video together. And so one half of the screen was that woman with her bonnet on talking about how if you're talking to a person with red hair and blue eyes and they're white, you are talking to a black person. Yes. And it's just Carrot Top and I just going, just taking it all in and going, we're home.
Oh, man. You know, Carrot Top.
We also know that now that we're invited to the cookout, it doesn't mean we can make anything, but we are allowed to bring plates and cutlery.
And you know what? It is an honor for you to be at the table. And maybe you'll be inspired to season your food more because apparently we are not seasoning our food enough. And we're always listening and learning. We are always listening.
Always listening and learning.
Since we have only a bit of time left, I want to make sure to get into another Kathy Griffin hot take, which is since we're recording this when the news has been breaking on Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban getting divorced after about 20 years of marriage. Who do you think is going to get the hair colorist?
I think she is going to get the hair colorist, and I'll tell you why. Kidman has something that you can never take away from her, which is she's got the I survived the Sci-Ties. And by that, I mean the Scientologists. So she survived Tom Cruise. You don't just break up with Tom Cruise. You run. You run for your life. And she got out of that situation that I don't think anybody wanted her in. And so if I have to pick a team, I'm Team Kidman. And I even named one of my specials, Kathy Griffin is not Nicole Kidman. And I did ask her to do the opening voiceover. And of course, she said no. And yet, I'm Team Kidman. And I also seem to recall Keith Urban, I believe, having a crack cocaine and sex worker addiction issue, which I feel that if she was able to get over that, then he must have fucked up. Is where I'm going with it. I'm blaming him, and I have no evidence to support it.
Well, we always blame the straight man. And, I mean, Keith Urban, I don't know. He is one of the most feminine straight men. And I'm not saying straight men can't be feminine, but...
But he can straighten the shit out of his hair. I mean, he can flat iron his hair like I wish.
I truly, yeah, it is giving crimp goals. Do you think that, so then Nicole Kidman, I mean, she has had a harrowing relationship history. Do you think she's going to have another high profile marriage, or do you think that she's going to be done with it and go for a normie or just go single lesbian?
I think she's going to go high power because I think it's all she knows. And I think she can have the pick of the litter. I mean, she really is perfect. She's not just a gorgeous Barbie doll. She is such a gifted actress, and she's Australian, and the Australians love her because she's got kind of that Australian no nonsense take the piss out of things attitude.
Yeah.
So I think she's going to be fine, and I think he's going to spiral,
which, you know, I think straight men are wont to do, and it's because they
fucked up
and they continue to. Oh, by the way, I want to make sure I shout out my parents are not John and Maggie, but they are incredible parents that have embraced my gay ass self. And I just want to make sure that I don't shout them out enough. And so I want to make sure on this Kathy Griffin episode to do so.
Well, tell them I said hello and give them a big hug for me.
Oh, I absolutely, absolutely will. Finally, you are a gay icon because of 25 different reasons, but I think that your icon status has recently been elevated with your second divorce. Are you going for the Elizabeth Taylor 8?
Yes. I'd like at least 8 divorces. And like I said, I went on the dating apps as myself. I did not use a pseudonym or go with like an animated photo. I went on dating apps as Kathy Griffin, and my opening line on the descriptor was, I promise not to cut your head off, which, you know, I have a history about that as well. And so I thought I was being very open and kind by promising not to decapitate anybody. And it was, like I said, it was fun, but I'm putting the word out. And, you know, at this point, I would take just a old half rotten banana or an eggplant, because I have to use those condoms. They're in my purse everywhere I go, and the lube, just because when you're a girl, there's a doctor visit afterwards. I won't go into it, but it's not pleasant. And so I'm ready to go. Bring on the 8 husbands, but let's make it 9.
Sure. We always want to, you know, go above and beyond. I, as a Jewess, I feel like I have a yenta inside of me. I always love to match make. So if I come across any straight men who I think can live up to the Kathy Griffin aura, I will send. What are you trying to manifest in terms of the type of man? Do you want someone in the biz? Are you looking for someone outside the biz? Do you have any sort of direction you would like to go when it comes to your man?
I want him to be financially secure and not have to live off me, and a guy that I don't have to employ for him to make money, nor do. And I want a guy that will pick up the tab every single time we go out to eat and be able to take me on a vacation at the Four Seasons, because I have taken many, many men to many restaurants and many fancy vacations. And I want a guy that's got his own house and his own career and already has a life. And that's it. I don't care about looks. I don't care about age, but he's got to have his own life so he's not sucking the life out of mine.
100%. And I'm going to take that, put it into my magic gay Jewy aura, and put it out into the world that that man is on his way to you.
Okay.
And you are going to be sitting at a gorgeous meal and watch with beautiful clarity as he takes his wallet out, and you keep your purse hanging on that chair.
I might faint, but I look forward to it.
Well, listen, Kathy Griffin, it has been a gosh darn treat to have you on this gay ass podcast.
This is a love story.
I think so too. I think the universe brought us together, and I think this is the beginning of our love story, and I cannot wait to see how the pages turn. But before we finish, I'd like to ask you the final gay ass podcast question I ask all of our esteemed guests, which is, if the world was ending, you could only save one character actress, who would you say?
Oh, that's so tough, because that's my area of women to worship. All right. Who plays Mrs. Maisel? Rachel
Brosnahan.
Yes. I think Jane Lynch. I mean, I could go on. Megan Mullally. I could go on. I mean, most of them are my girlfriends. Lisa Kudrow. Okay, but I'll go with Rachel.
Love that.
Because she's also
an
amazing serious actress. And of course, I love Mrs. Maisel. I love the show. Jean Smart. I mean, I can't decide, but okay, I'll stick with Rachel.
Well, you've listed all incredible character actresses, and so we knew the taste would be there, but it's just an honor to hear you even utter the names of these character actresses that we love. And Kathy Griffin, we gay-ass listeners, gay-ass people, and smart straights adore you and are so excited for this new face, new tour, My Life on the PTSD List, your 23rd special. By the way, we are huge Substack girlies here at Gay Ass Podcast, and your
I'm
new
on
Substack
too.
I know, your new Substack is excellent. So maybe you
oh,
and I
thanks.
Can do like a Substack something
live?
Or something. Yeah, we'll do a live on Substack.
Let's do a live together. I would love that.
Oh, I'm actually literally doing one tonight. So I do them all the time and I would love,
okay,
it would be
there.
A dream to do one with you. Okay. Kathy, can you please tell our listeners where to follow you and anything else you would like to plug or that I did not land on?
Okay. The most important thing is to watch the new special, Kathy Griffin, My Life on the PTSD List, on October 8th on YouTube, and then run and buy tickets at kathygriffin.com or wherever you buy tickets to one of the cities from my tour, which is called New Face, New Tour, because I just got a facelift 3 months ago, and I'm premiering it to the world. And I am coming to the real America on this tour. So I'm just telling you, Jacksonville, Florida, I'm coming. And I will not be holding back about Trump or anything. And of course, I'll give you the celebrity gossip and the stories and come see me live. Other than that, follow me on Substack, Patreon, TikTok, Instagram, everything but X.
Everything but X. All of those links are in the description. Go support Kathy. We adore you. And I just cannot say enough good things about what you've done for me and what you continue to do for our community and for the world. So thank you, Kathy Griffin. And I will see you for another gay ass gossip sesh soon.
I can't wait. All right. Thank you, Eric. Thank you so much, you guys.
Thank you so much for joining me on That's a Gay Ass Podcast for this historic episode. I think talking to Kathy Griffin has made my entire year. And if you enjoyed it, please spread the word, tag her, tag me on Instagram, and go to Substack. Like we said, Substack is the tits. This week's bonus episode for Gay Ass Podcast is with Gabe Gonzalez, a stand-up comedian in New York City. He's incredibly smart, incredibly sexy, and the stories are wild. Like, he worked as a porn editor and got splashed during one of the shoots. That's at substack.com/@EricWills. And hopefully I'll make that live interview with Kathy happen on Substack as well. So go subscribe, support, and thank you for being here. I just can't believe it happened. As Anne Hathaway said, it came true. Stay gay.
You've been listening to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, hosted by me, Eric Williams. If you want to see and hear more, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and follow the Instagram at Gay Ass Podcast. For more gay assery, the real girlies are over on Substack, where you get bonus episodes every single week and live chats with me and other gay ass guests. That's a Gay Ass Podcast is executive produced by Eric Williams and produced by Nathaniel McClure. We'll see you next week.